I asked our listeners for some suggestions for topics, and people should continue to send those on to us, maybe on Twitter, @robot_or_not, or just to Syracuse and Jay Snell. But I do have a few. Here's one. Computer chips. That's a thing people say. Hey, it's a chip. I got a chip here. I got a chip. You know, there's a chip in my ear. There's a chip in my door. There's a chip. There's chips everywhere. I'm curious, how would you define what is a computer chip and what is not a computer chip?
Are there things that you think are borderline or that things are classifying as computer chips and you're like, is that really
isn't
a
there
chip?
A broad,
I don't think it's ambiguous.
Isn't there a broad definition and a narrow definition? I mean, like, does it have to be a microprocessor? Is that what a chip is? Is a microprocessor?
No. Here's what a computer chip has to be. It's a silicon wafer with transistors on it inside a plastic package with either pinouts or with either pins or contacts on it. That's it. That's a computer chip.
So that's a very broad definition of
that. But that's it. That's what it is. Like, there's no. It's not that broad because, like, what if such a thing is made and you're not going to call it computer chip? What the hell is it? There's no other word for it.
Well, I'm saying it's broad because I think somebody else would say that a chip is a shorthand for like something with processing power, like a processor,
nope.
As opposed to like a memory chip, I guess.
Nope, I'm going to call all those things computer. I mean, it's like integrated circuits, ICs, but mm-hmm. I would call a memory chip a computer chip because it's part of a computer, goes in a computer. Like, it's so broad because it's all transistors, right?
There's
just different kinds of transistors and for different purposes and different arrangements.
So what makes a processor versus a chip? Or just...
That's just a subset. So in the world of computer chips, there are memory chips, there are CPUs, you know, there are, you know, controller chips. There are timer chips. There's simple and complicated ones. Something that's a CPU, it's a pretty good definition, is that, you know, it's got it can read a program in, it has an instruction set, it executes the instructions, it reads and writes to memory during it, and it has some way to do IO to, if only to read the program, right? And to somehow communicate the results to the user of the thing. So that's a CPU.
Do GPUs muddy the waters any?
Not really, because GPUs, like, I mean, they've already got their own name. You say, why isn't a GPU a CPU? Hmm. It's a specialized kind of CPU, especially in the beginning where it wasn't actually running programs, but it's specialized in that it's not made for general computation. It's made for a specific purpose of the G, graphical. It's made, like, why would you make a CPU with this huge array of execution units? How could you possibly keep them fed? Oh, actually, this is for doing graphics. And with graphics, you have tons and tons of data that you can process in parallel. That's why this thing is the shape it is. Why does it look like this? Like, you can just look at the diagrams on, you know, like, look at them physically with your eyeballs, and you can identify a GPU versus a CPU because memory, for that matter, because of the way you can see the transistors being laid out. They're laid out in a totally different way on a GPU. And so you say, well, isn't a GPU like a subset of a CPU or whatever? Not really, I would say. It is a thing made to process graphics, and no one would ever confuse it, especially today, for a CPU in any way. Like, how it looks, how it works, how big it is, its performance characteristics, how it's programmed, how it gets its input and output. A GPU is a GPU.
So are there any gray areas in terms of what is inside a computer, in terms of, or is it fairly clearly defined?
I think I was trying to think of gray areas. I think the best one I can come up with are system on a chips. SoCs.
Mm-hmm.
You could have multi-chip packages. Like, you have a CPU where it used to be that the two cores were on separate dies, or like the memory was on a separate die, but it was put in a single package, and you'd call that a single computer chip because the unit is basically like the big gray flat thing that you solder to something or stick in, you know, the pins into something, right? That's the computer chip. But at a certain point, if inside the package is like an increasing amount of things. Oh, all the memory is inside there. The GPU is inside there. The CPU is inside there. All the I/O is inside there. It's still a computer chip because, again, you get a little rectangle. You get a little, you know, rectangle with pins or contacts on it, right? But how do you categorize it? And when you just by calling it system on a chip, it seems weird to me. So like I can imagine if this continues, you could get to a point where you're jamming so much stuff in there. And maybe the form factor itself changes, and then it will stop being a computer chip and be something else. But right now, system on a chips, I think, are at the boundaries of this, because it is kind of like, oh, don't you have a bunch of the chip guts inside there? Like, the whole system on a chip. I mean, it's right in the name, but
But at some point, doesn't it become a computer? It's not just a chip anymore. It's like the whole thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you keep putting more and more stuff in there, like, I think the actual form factor will have to change. I think it will stop being a package with a bunch of pinouts and contacts on it and start being like, what does it need to pin out or contact to? Like, what if the screen is part of the system on the chip? Like, you know what I mean? Like, now you just made a giant thing that looks like an iPhone that is the entire thing as one indivisible unit that nothing comes apart on it. You know, I mean, I guess they need someplace for the battery. But anyway, we're not there yet. So I think there's no actual ambiguity right now, but that's the place to watch.
One of the things that always frustrates me about people who are not well-versed in computer stuff is the lack of precision when they use the word memory. To like to say, how much memory did you get in your iPhone? Did you get the 64 or the 32 or the 128? How much memory did you get? And it kills me because we don't call that memory. We call that storage.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll point all of our aunts and uncles and grandparents to this podcast, obviously. And first we'll explain to them how a podcast works and what it is. And then they'll listen to this and they will learn, when do you call something memory and when do you call it storage or something else, space, free space, something. How do you talk to somebody and explain the difference between memory and storage?
I have some bad news for you, Jason. This distinction that we all grew up with and think is the bedrock foundation of computing.
You're jumping ahead because it's going away.
Yeah, it's probably not long for this world. Because the distinction
that was how I was going to get you. I was going to say, but in an era of virtual memory and of RAM disks at some point everything will just be. I mean, solid state drives are what we used to call memory, but now there's storage. It's madness.
Yeah, not even that. I'm talking about actual. Like, there is actually no. Like, because everything you're talking about, even though, yes, solid-state drives use chips, and so do
chips.
RAM, right? Aren't they the same? They're not. Like, one's non-volatile, one's volatile, right? The performance characteristics, how they're organized, how they're accessed by the CPU, totally different. And still, SSDs are storage, and memory is memory, right? And they, despite the fact that they're both using chips, and despite the fact that they're speed relative to each other, you know, they're getting closer, still separate. I'm saying eventually, and probably in the not too distant future, in some applications, you will have a single pool of stuff accessed in a single way, probably mostly like memory and not like storage. Like, basically, the storage will go away, and that everything is uniform. Like, you've got the Intel, 3D X point or cross point, however the hell you're supposed to pronounce it, like, moving towards that. This has been the dream of computer architects forever, because the distinction and performance differences between memory and storage is a source of a lot of problems optimizing performance and throughput of computers. Right. And I think it will eventually, probably in our lifetime, merge. And so all this knowledge we have about this really super important distinction that people who don't know about computers have been getting wrong in their whole life will become obsolete, and then we'll just be sad.
But until then,
of course, well, yeah. In the meantime, Apple doesn't help by not particularly being clear in all its marketing materials and lots of other things. Like, everyone's fast and loose with the terminology because they have to be. That's why people call things eye touches. Like, you can't stop them, right? But the distinction that I have explained to people is, it depends on their familiarity, which times we say memory is volatile and storage is non-volatile. When the power goes off, storage stays around, memory doesn't. That's what it comes down to, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a distinction that's weird in phones that you can't ever actually, like, you know, people don't turn them off. They don't even know how to hold down the power button or whatever and turn them off. Memory goes away.
But John, when I turn my phone off and turn it back on, it remembers everything that I had there, like, before.
I think most people, especially adults, remember enough about computers of, like, if you accidentally turn them off or yank the power cord or had a blackout, you could lose stuff that you're working on, because it's volatile versus non-volatile. If they don't understand that concept, you have to explain it, and you say, look, memory's volatile and storage is non-volatile.
Well, to Apple's credit, they basically don't talk about memory in iOS
devices,
right?
Yeah,
they
don't tell you. Nerds know, but consumers don't know or care.
No, they just care about that storage number, but
right, so that's what I'm saying. It's not helping. That's why people just say, how much memory do you get? I got 120. And I think
it's not a bad word for it. It's just already used for something else.
Memory as an umbrella term, like, slowly morphing it into umbrella term, I'm kind of okay with that when there's no ambiguity in, like, in the context of how much memory is in your iPhone. I'm sure I say it, like, because no one talks about RAM anymore. right?
Right.
Like Apple doesn't. And even if you did, like we just say colloquially how much memory is in your Mac, we would know what we're talking about to each other. If we said how much RAM, we would also know. But if I said how much memory is in your iPhone, you wouldn't be like, oh, this one has 2 gigs. You wouldn't say that. You would know from context, right? So I think that stuff is evolving. Yeah. So, but I don't think it's a particularly important thing to train people on, except for during the 15 minutes that they're asking you on advice on what to buy. And then you have to like emphasize to them, look for this number here and look for this number there. You know, if they're buying a Mac, like this is your storage, this is your memory. But even storage, you don't say, you say hard drive, which is also yeah. kind of an anachronism at this point.
Exactly.
We muddle through. It works out.
So the argument you're making here, though, is that in the future, because we're driving all of this stuff to be as fast and responsive as possible, that in the future it won't matter, and that the dream is that you'll have one bank of data storage that you can use for what we currently consider storage and what we can currently consider memory, and it
right.
all just so uses a single bank of hardware that right. where you can put data.
And for that to happen, it has to be faster than storage, but also non-volatile.
Right.
So that's what they try to get to. Like, it's probably not going to be as fast as, like, the caches or, like, you know, the fastest SRAM could possibly be. Well, who knows? Who knows what the tech will be? But it has to be non-volatile, because if it's not non-volatile, it can't replace storage. So this one uniform form
or can't replace memory
you'd probably access it like memory, because that's a better way to access things than the storage model of doing I/O, right? You'd access it like memory, but it would be non-volatile like storage. And it's just one pool, and there would still be a cache hierarchy, obviously, with the different levels of caching and the whole nine yards just for performance. But that's where things are slowly but surely going, I think.
Sounds good to me. Robot or not.